I truly believe that. That was awesome. Thank you, musicians and church family, for putting all of that together. That's awesome. And Carl's going to come around right now and hand out some candy cane. Not like this, not this size, but candy canes for everybody. And let's give two to each one, Carl, because I'm going to talk something about that in just a moment with the little candy canes we have. They're not very big anyways, so now don't eat them yet, kids. You know, you can eat them afterwards. So we're gonna talk about that candy cane, and some of you have heard the story, the legend of the candy cane before, I know. But I want to share a couple of verses of scripture right here, right now. But let's bow in prayer. Thank you once again, Lord, for a great service tonight, for the music that's honoring and has been honoring to you. Lord, I rejoice in that. Thank you for our musicians and our church family and everything that they have put together for honoring you tonight, but blessing us as well. So I pray now that as we share some thoughts from the Word and give some illustrations, Lord, that you'll help us to understand even a little bit better about you, in whose name I pray. Amen. So Matthew chapter 5, first of all, John chapter 7, John chapter 8 we'll look at, verse 12. You know the verse. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And then I look back to the well-known passage of scripture in Matthew chapter 5, which is the Sermon on the Mount, where it says, speaking to believers now, those that know the Lord, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Yet your light, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Two things here. Jesus says about himself, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. The light came from heaven to pierce the darkness. In a little while, we're going to turn most of the lights off in the room except the candle lights and the lights that are on the trees. But that's what Jesus said, and that's what Jesus did. Jesus came as the light of the world. But as he shares with his disciples, his followers on the Sermon on the Mount, he knew it wouldn't be much longer. He would be leaving, and he says to them, you are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hidden. So there's many different ways we can be light. So I've been sharing with the secular world that I speak to almost every month, different people from all different walks of life, especially the first responder community, about the idea of the lighthouse. Why do we have a lighthouse? And I've been sharing with them the importance of having a light in your life and also being a light to others. And just a few months ago, Steve Pemberton, I never read anything by him before, but I found out that he was an orphan and was in an orphanage for quite a while until somebody, actually a teacher, took him when he was a teenager and took him into his house. And he wrote this book, The Lighthouse Effect, How Ordinary People Can Have an Extraordinary Impact in the World. It's a secular book, but I'm telling you, it is right down the line of what we teach in the Word and what I've been teaching these many months. It talks about, and then each chapter talks about a different person who was a light or needed a light in his life. And I think when we think about the legend of the candy cane, I'll give you a little bit about that story and then we'll talk about how it's depicted. But according to the legend, this candy was first created in the 18th century. And at that time, in certain areas of Europe, there was said to be a ban on public displays of Christianity. Christians were oppressed and no Bible or crosses could be owned at the time. One man found this oppression distressing and wished he could share the love of Jesus and the joy of Christmas with the rest of the world. This man started to show his light. And when Christmas came around, children didn't get to see nativity scenes like we can see today. Some places they still can't see those. Or enjoy learning about the truth of Christmas. But as a candy maker, this man prayed to find a way that he could offer local children a Christmas gift that would allow him to communicate the real story of Christmas. So he came up with a Christmas candy. Have you seen one that big before? And so the idea is this, the shepherd's staff. Looks like a staff, doesn't it? The shepherd's staff. So he chose to make the candy cane in the shape of a shepherd's staff. And after all, Jesus is the shepherd to his followers, and the Bible says this in so many places when it says, the sheep shall hear his voice and shall follow him. John 10:11 says, Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Psalm 103 says, know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. And then if you invert the candy cane, we have the letter J, do we not? So the letter J can depict and should depict Jesus. That's what the candy maker wanted it to depict. Not only was it in the shape of a staff, but when held upside down, it formed the J, which of course stood for Jesus. Matthew 1:21 says, she shall give birth to a son, and you'll give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. He didn't make the candy cane out of chocolate. Did you know that? Kind of soft kind of thing. No, he made it out of rock candy, hard candy for the candy cane, which was done to remind the children that Jesus is our rock and dependable and strong. Jesus is always dependable and strong. Luke 6:38, he is like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. And when a flood came, the torrent struck that house, but could not shake it because it was well built. We also notice in the candy cane there are stripes. Wide red stripes were added to the candy cane, which is representative of the crucifixion and the blood that Jesus shed for our sins. Isaiah 53:5, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. We notice the color red, his depicting the blood, the red blood, the blood of Jesus that was shed. It says in Revelation 5 and John 3:16, and it talks about this, through his blood we are given salvation and we are given life. And then we see white in the candy cane. White stripes in the candy cane, which represents the holiness and the purity of Jesus. And I want to remind you tonight that Jesus was sinless, the sinless Son of God, the only man who never sinned. He was the God-man. Hebrews 4:15, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin. So the white is also, I think, a picture and would be depicted here of how God washes our sins away and makes us white as snow when we trust in Jesus as Savior. Isaiah 1:18, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be as wool. Peppermint. Now, I have to admit, I'm not a big fan of peppermint. That's probably why I don't really like candy canes that are peppermint. But that was the fragrance. That was the flavor. Depicting the sweet fragrance of Christ, peppermint was very similar to hyssop, which was used for the sacrifice and purification in the Old Testament, reminding us of the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. It also reminds us of the spices brought by the wise men when they came to visit Jesus. And then we have the love of Christ. The love of Christ. The candy was made to be given as a gift, representing the love of Jesus. If you take the two candy canes and you put them together like this, what do we have, boys and girls? Huh?
A heart.
A heart. reminding us that Jesus loves us and he wants to come into our heart to save us from our sins. Jesus gave his life, representing the love, the gift of salvation, if you will. So when we look at the candy cane, what do you see? Stripes that are red like blood shed for me. White is for my Savior who's sinless and pure. J is for Jesus, my Lord, that's for sure. Turn it around and the staff you will see, Jesus my shepherd was born for me. And even on the eve before Christmas Eve, we're reflecting on what we'll reflect on Saturday when we celebrate. So the candy cane maker used the candy cane when Christ was not allowed to be talked about or allowed to be spoken of and people didn't have the word of God. He allowed the candy cane or created the candy cane to share Christ. And by doing us, he was letting us know that our light, in whatever way it needs to shine for others. Stories also told about a man who was a shoemaker, who had a longing desire to be a missionary. And everyone who came into a shoe shop heard about Jesus Christ. One day his friend took him aside and said, "All this talk about Jesus is ruining your business." The man responded, My business is to extend the kingdom of God. I only cobble shoes to make expenses." So whether you cobble shoes or make candy canes or whether you might become the next president of the United States, I'm not sure who would ever really want to do that, you don't have to do great things for your light to shine, for your star to shine. Boys and girls, even at your age, you can have your light shine. Your life is your light. And when you have the light of Jesus Christ in your life, you can shine forth for him. All we have to do is keep doing the little things like the shoemaker did with great conviction, great wisdom, great beauty, and great love like the candy maker. So here is what our scripture refers to by putting your light on a stand to let it shine for all to see so that we can praise God and glorify God. So it's time for the light to come out from under our baskets and let them shine. We are called to be the light of the world. Jesus said, "You are now the light." Jesus left and went back to heaven. He's coming again. But we are the light. He shines through us. And just as a lighthouse uses its glowing beam to guide ships towards safety and away from danger, so we are to use the light of Christ to guide the lost to safety of the God who lets us and reminds us of the dangers of sin. The rocks are there. The ship of our lives can crash on the rocks of sin, if we don't let our light shine and let Jesus shine through us and let him work through us. Light, I remind you, was the first thing God created. First thing. And some of the first words recorded in the Bible are, "Let there be light." John 12:35, Jesus said, "Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walks in darkness does not know where he goes." That's true. Philippians 2:15, "That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world." Romans 13:12, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast out the works of darkness," that's sin, "and let us put on the armor of light." Ephesians 5:8, "For you were sometimes darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." And the whole reason for so much emphasis on light is simply due to the fact that we are continually waging a battle with the forces of darkness. It's tough out there. And now things are raging again. And you can't even find a COVID test. It's like they're standing in line. We know we did that today. And just so we were prepared for family and everything. And I got my test results back. I peaked. So I'm negative. Janet hasn't looked at her yet. I'm negative. I think we are. We didn't have any symptoms or anything. But my point of all of this is, 2 years now, just that thing alone has been raging in the world. and there are many other things. Really, it's all a result of sin in the world. And the only way we can win the victory over this darkness is through the light that is received from Jesus Christ. Light came into the world not only through the creation of a literal sun, but also through God's Son, Jesus Christ. So the good news is that this story of the shining star does not end with the wise men. We're going to talk about that next Sunday. The wise men didn't come at the birth of Jesus, they came later. But we are to shine like the light of the Christmas star. We must never lose our reflective brightness of the Christmas star. There are five ways, and I finish with this, and we're going to light the candles. Aren't you glad? There are five ways to be light, L-I-G-H-T, to a lost and dying world. The L is love. Love your neighbor as yourself. The I is to imitate Christ. The G is to get to know others. The H is hospitality. And the T is to tell others about Jesus. That's all what light is all about. That's the purpose of light in our world. Are you light today? Do you have the light of Christ in your life? Have you believed in him and invited him to come into your life to be light? He's the only one that can really pierce the darkness that's so prevalent around us. And when we allow him to come into our lives, then he says, now you are to pick it up. You're to pick up the light, you're to pick up the candle, you're to pick up the light, and you are to go into that dark world as a light shining for me. That's really what it's all about. Really what it, whether you're a candy maker or a shoe cobbler or whatever you might do, whatever you might be, we need to be a light. The world needs the light. We've heard beautiful music tonight, and that's been a light. The music has been a light. And the Word of God is a light. And in a little while, we're going to leave here. And Jesus says, now you go out and be the light, because that's what the world needs. So we're going to turn out the lights, and we're going to sing, if you can sing it, in just a minute. We're going to light the candles first, but we're going to sing that song we know so well, Silent Night.